Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So we talked about this earlier in the week, and now Twitter has exploded and social media is going nuts over how the company Google were having a climate change camp in Italy. And when we talked about it earlier in the week, Google specifically invited certain people, and they're the biggest of the big. I mean, everybody from Leonardo DiCaprio, and by the way, Leonardo DiCaprio is on record saying that climate change is the biggest threat to humanity, and he's one of those guys. And if you've listened to this show before, look, I don't think climate change is a hoax like some people do. But I also don't think it is the serious problem that we're all going to die within 10 or 12 years, like the likes of Al Gore and others have said, even more recently, the freshman congresswoman from New York City, that, oh, no, she said she's not even going to have any kids because what's the point of having kids if we're all just going to be dead by the age of 12?
Exactly.
You
barely get to know them at that age.
I don't think it's nearly that bad. And I think people are being very...
we're screwed.
People are being very presumptuous. I mean, how long has this planet been around? A million
years?
Well,
according to Sarah Palin, I think 6,000 years.
Well, however many years. It's a lot longer than that, obviously. However many years that this planet's been around. And, you know, the our average temperatures... What have they changed by a couple of degrees? And you're talking about just forever.
Well, in this so-called, I mean, again, everybody I think has heard a version of what I'm about to say. In this so-called warming, 30-year warming period or whatever, you could draw a direct correlation to, I think, back at the end of the, was it 1950s or 1960s, that we're in a 30-year cooling period. So it's just, it's much like when you have experts at testifying at criminal trials. It's the highest dollar wins. The highest dollar expert could be who the jury believes.
Many of these scientists who say, I've got the science that proves that climate change is going to take over this earth, and it's going to kill us all. Of them have been paid for those reports. They've been paid by governments. They've been paid to say, look, this is, make sure you tell people that this is going to kill us.
I cannot believe that the earth is somehow finite based on our occupation of it, and somehow the earth is dying because these little specks known as, 8 or 9 billion people. Do you know how unoccupied this planet is?
There's still a lot of space.
Even with 9 billion people, who, by the way, one in every ninth person is a Chinese female. That's true. Hmm. I don't know if you knew that. I don't believe that we are destroying the planet Earth.
No,
I don't believe that.
Are there things we could do to carve our carbon footprint?
Sure.
Absolutely. In the United States, if you could go look this up. Our country in the last decade has done several things to cut our carbon footprint up there.
There's no question, I've said this before, that with the exception of Flint, Michigan, which is an anomaly, and God bless those people and what they deal with, our air has never been cleaner. Our water has never been cleaner. I just don't believe that we have the power to destroy the planet.
So
outside of nuclear, nuclear intervention, that's something else. Yeah.
So Google, the company, they have a summit on climate change in Italy, and they personally invited some of the biggest names. I mean, Barack Obama Leonardo DiCaprio, Katy Perry.
Oh, the brain trust.
Look at that, a former president, an actor, and a Pop-Tart. And there are A-listers all over the place. David Geffen is there, the multi-gazillionaire, the record guy.
Sure.
And when we talked about this earlier in the week, I made a point to tell you that these A-listers are all going there, most of them by private jet, 114 private jets to a climate change summit. Think about what those 114 private jets are going to be doing to the ozone layer.
Well, and not only that, it's not limited to that. We also talked about last week the picture that was tweeted or Instagrammed from David Geffen and Katy Perry, who had stopped off in Spain prior to this summit. Now, you throw in the extra excess and jet fuel into the atmosphere based on that.
Yeah, but
if they really cared about that, they wouldn't so blatantly do things like that that two idiots on the radio could then point at and say, look what you're doing.
I mean, it's the definition of an oxymoron. When
you got the moron part right.
When you've got 114 private jets, a bunch of massive yachts that are engine-powered, obviously,
right,
showing up to a climate change summit. It's like they're all telling us, watch out, the world's going to come to an end, and I'm going to be because of climate change, and we're going to get on 114 private jets to go over there. I mean, couldn't they have done a video conference?
Exactly.
I mean, it's Google. See, they're a high-tech company. Couldn't they have done that?
Is there anyone you could... I know it's too late, but is there anyone you could suggest that to for the next time?
There is nothing more hypocritical than a bunch of really rich people flying private jets and taking massive yachts.
Yeah, I had not
to
even...
To a climate change summit to talk about how we're destroying this planet.
I could. Is it super yacht or mega yacht? These are vessels that I didn't even know had names like that. I mean, I've heard of like a luxury yacht, but a super yacht. Have you heard of a? It's all one word. A super yacht or a mega yacht.
It must be nice.
It's anywhere from 24 to more than 180 meters in length. Now, I'm not very good at math, but that's let's see. Anywhere from 79 to 590 feet in length. Here come David Geffen and Katy Perry, fresh from their junket in Spain to attend the climate summit. Ay.
Well, they've been taking a beating on social media.
Good.
And for the reasons that we're talking about, right, and that I talked about when we talked about this earlier on the show. It's just absolutely insane, and Google did everything to try to keep the location of this private. They didn't want regular folk, commoners like you and I,
right,
to stumble upon their A-list Google climate change summit over there in Italy, and now that some of these details have been coming out. When Al Gore first said, we better do something about this, we don't have much time left. When he first said that, I think the time's already expired, that we were supposed to be in all kinds of trouble when it came to climate change. I mean, you even have politicians in New Orleans, political people, saying climate change is the biggest issue facing New Orleans. I would say, really? I've lived here for over 11 years now. I live in New Orleans. You ask me what the biggest issue is facing New Orleans, I'd say people getting shot every day. But that's just me. And again, I'm not saying that it's a hoax. But we have done things in this country to cut back our carbon footprint, and we will continue to do that. I just don't think it's the end all be all in a few years, like some of these people say it is. And my God, some of the people that are saying this, look what they're doing with their private jets. How many homes do they own? With the electricity they use, it's just crazy.
Well, I mean, some of the cutbacks have been government mandated, and I'm sure you don't like the one, being a libertarian, I'm sure you don't like the ones that you're aware of. But your There are built-in regulators, whether you want to call it a regulator or a governor or whatever, that keeps your toilet from only having so much water in the tank and only flushing so much water. Famously, if you go to buy I love a handheld shower head, the kind that you can has the thing and it goes on the shower, because I like to be able to, I'm like an elephant, I like to be able to hose myself off with a shower head, a power shower head if possible. It's a government mandate that every one of those, and this is a little secret, if you like a high pressure handheld shower, famously like the episode of Seinfeld where the building, Jerry's building, the water, the super made all the water pressure with the low flow showers.
Low flow.
I don't like the sound of that, Jerry's dad famously said. Can I say this on the air? I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go rogue against the government. If you buy one of those, whether it be a Delta or a Rainwater or any one of those, Peerless, pick one. Before you attach it to the hose, or if the hose is already on it, and I'm talking about before it goes into the wall, separate the hose from the handheld unit and get yourself a little screwdriver. There is a little, if you're familiar with NASCAR and restrictor plates, where the air intake is choked off so only so much horsepower can be created, there's a little water choke-off plastic gadget. If you just break that out, you will increase your water flow to your handheld shower pretty significantly, depending on the brand. Now, when Mrs. Brewster and I were recently in London, I did that in the room in the Hampton Inn where we stayed, unbeknownst to them, and it didn't really have much of an effect. So maybe in Britain the water's completely different. But anyway, that's Brewster's tip of the day here on Wally's Workshop.
Just the hypocrisy. That's all. That's why I brought all of this. Hypocrisy to something. And one other thing, real quick. We told you, now that it's hot, some women and some bigger men.
Oh no, not again.
They suffer from boob sweat.
Give me my $10 back.
No, and we told you on the show how there's a product out there. They're basically like little ice packs women can put in their tops and their bras. And there's one other thing, and I found this on the Bayou Facebook page. Doctors are now urging women not to put popsicles in their you-know-wheres to cool down summer.
The JJ, can you say that?
I did not know that was an issue. I guess for some women, they did that when it gets extremely hot out.
Yes.
But doctors are saying, do not do that. Do not take popsicles and put them anywhere except eating them.
Well, I mean, honestly, that could go for men and women. Ice is for external use only, except to go through, like, your pie hole.
There are other ways to cool down during the summer heat. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. Very rough weekend in the United States of America with a couple of more, two more mass shootings. One in El Paso, Texas, killed 20 people at the Walmart. And then later Saturday night, that happened Saturday morning. On Saturday night, some guy just opened fire outside of a bar in a popular nighttime destination in Dayton, Ohio, killing 9 people. So in those two shootings, 29 innocent people lost their lives. And it's so senseless. The shooter in El Paso, Texas, he drove, 600 miles to that border town to kill as many innocent people as he possibly could, and then he was taken alive by the police there. Authorities are saying that that creep was a 21-year-old white supremacist, and they're looking now, and he wrote something that he put on the internet right before he started shooting people. Authorities there say that they are going for the death penalty. They know who did it, right? They caught the guy. They got the guy. Is there any question? And of course, he should be killed. Absolutely, of course. The character in Dayton, Ohio, drove to that area with his sister. He drove in the same car Saturday night with his sister and her boyfriend. And when they parked, he shoots and kills his sister and her boyfriend, and then gets out of the car that they arrived there in, and then just started shooting people outside of a bar. Authorities there were able to take him down within 30 seconds of when he first started shooting. I mean, it's unspeakable. It's horrific. And as soon as these shootings happen, whether it's on television or on the radio or whether it's on social media, you hear from the people on the far left, you hear from the people on the far right. But the bottom line is the majority of Americans, we're not on the far left, we're not on the far right, we're pretty much in the middle, and we need this to stop. We need this to stop. And whether you're talking about, and by the way, both of these guys are mentally ill. I read somewhere where, well, hey, white nationalism or white supremacy is not a mental illness. Well, walking into a Walmart and shooting 46 people that you've never met, that have never done anything wrong to you, many children, that takes mental illness for someone to do that. You have to be mentally ill to walk into it, to drive 600 miles to a store you've never been to, and to just walk in and start shooting people that you don't know, that you've never met, that have never done anything to you. That's and the same with the guy in Dayton, Ohio, just opening up on people. He didn't know any of these people. And the guy in Dayton, Ohio, now they're saying he had a hit list, and it's horrific. And then, look, what people try to come up with a reasonable explanation how someone could do this. There is no reasonable explanation. Whether it's some loser high school kid who got picked on for 3 years and then decided to come back his senior year or the year after he graduated or got kicked out and start shooting up a high school like in Parkland, Florida, that's different than the guy in El Paso. That's different than the guy in Dayton.
But I'll tell you where that comes from, that human desire or need to make it. My analogy goes back to JFK, and they said that many people wanted there to be a conspiracy, but just leaned toward a national hope that there was a conspiracy, because you did not want to think that one lone gunman who was a sharpshooter expert in the Marines could take down the youngest, most virile, and handsome and debonair president we to that point had ever had.
Yeah, but he did. Yeah.
And so when you have horrific stories like this that are going to touch people's lives, family members, generation after generation, people who've lost loved ones in either one of these situations, you want to put some meaning to it other than just somebody went nuts and killed my sister, my dad, my mother, my friend next door. You want it to be something other than just some
mental illness?
Mental illness.
Because all of these mass shooters, you have to be mentally ill to shoot a bunch of people that you've never met, that have never done anything wrong to you. You have to be mentally ill. How do you keep guns out of crazy people's hands? And you know what's interesting? The New York Post, which is they're definitely lean right. They are one conservative outlet up there. The New York Post. They're calling for a ban on weapons of war. Automatic, semi-automatic rifles. That they are calling for a ban on those weapons of war. They say the founding fathers couldn't imagine when they came up with the Second Amendment. They couldn't imagine a 21-year-old mentally ill, deranged nut being able to fire off 30 rounds in a couple of seconds and kill as many.
Or 500 in a minute.
Whatever the case may be. And they're now calling for a ban on weapons of war. There is no easy solution in a free country where even if you ban semi-automatic rifles, weapons of war, someone could walk in with handguns, a couple of handguns, and shoot. Not as many and not as fast.
Well,
but isn't it time to attempt to do something? Because all we seem to hear from are the people on the far end of each side of this argument, and the majority of Americans are in the middle, and they're scared as hell. Scared as hell.
What are your thoughts about the? We have mutual friends, former coworkers, I don't want to say the mantra that they're using, but the collective post, if you could condense it down to one, is thoughts and prayers aren't enough. I saw a political article, a cartoon that had we'll just say like a board of different buttons you could push, and all of the other buttons said do something, and we just keep pushing thoughts and prayers, prayers. Now, I'm not sure how I feel about that, though. Is that what we do? We just keep hitting thoughts and prayers when these things happen, and we don't take action. You know, it's ironic that I happened to Saturday morning be catching up on
praying's not working.
No. But there have been people with these illnesses throughout history, and it's an unfortunate harmonic convergence that you just happen to have people who are able to get so radicalized, whether it's sitting in their parents' basement on the internet or whatever, that has converged at a time when they are able to, however, get these weapons. And if they're not able to get something that is automatic, you know, then you have a case like Las Vegas where you take a plastic gadget that you put onto the weapon, bump stock, and now you've made it automatic.
Which is now not legal.
Now not legal. But I happen to be watching on Saturday morning. I'm a couple of months behind on a show that I really enjoy on HBO. HBO Sports, that's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. And they happen to be talking, this was back from, I think, March or April, they happen to be talking about automatic and semi-automatic weapons. And, of course, the sports and gun lobby, as those two converge, their power, the NRA's power, but yet the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods was... while the Las Vegas shooter did not get his weapons from there, he easily could have. And so I don't think you can get any sporting firearms at Dick's at all. I know they certainly banned sales of the AR-15, which is what this report was about. You can say, okay, well, they banned bump stocks, but they showed a couple of on ranges, they showed a couple of guys with an AR-15, and how something as simple as a rubber band hooked to your belt loop, you could make that fire off in an automatic fashion. So you can ban everything that you want, whether it's a plastic gadget. I guess now we'll ban rubber band. But I'm troubled by this ongoing social media narrative that we just keep hitting thoughts and prayers, and then move on. Is that what we're doing? What should I do? Should I do more? What should I do?
Well, what can the average American person do?
Because we're always going to have these people who, for whatever reason, have fallen through the cracks of mental illness treatment or whatever, or they don't get on the right lists with our government based on their actions, their writings, their, you know, maybe letters they send. I don't know.
If you want to text us your thoughts. Do you think perhaps it's time to revisit an automatic or semi-automatic weapons ban? You know, we had one of those in this country from 1994 to 2004.
And I understand that the NRA and proponents of that, I understand how any give on their part,
they look at it as the first step to taking all the guns away.
Right.
That's how
taking away true sporting rifles.
That's how some people look at that.
Right, and hunting firearms. I get that. I grew up around guns. I grew up in the country. I grew up. My dad had guns. I had a 410. My first firearm outside of an air rifle was a 410 shotgun.
I cherish the Second Amendment. The Supreme Court has ruled that the Second Amendment protects the rights to own guns in common use. Quote, in common use, unquote. Does that cover semi-automatic weapons regularly used in mass shootings? Weapons that we used in war? I found it interesting, though, how the New York Post, again, that's the everything else up there, the New York Times, the Daily News, they all come at you from the left. They would like to ban guns. But the New York Post is the one print media outlet that comes at you from the right, and they're saying it's time to put a ban on quote, weapons of war, unquote, automatic and semi-automatic rifles. If you want to text us, what do you think about this? Sad Monday morning. Our number is, you can text us at 504-260-9595. And please do not text while you're driving. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Did you see what happened on Sunday, yesterday, at a Walmart 10 miles south of Tampa, Florida? Authorities arrested a 31-year-old guy who called that Walmart. He called up the Walmart on Sunday and said, I'm armed and I'm on my way. I'm intrigued by what happened at the Walmart in Texas yesterday. 31-year-old Wayne Lee Padgett was arrested and he accused of targeting a Walmart in Gibsonton, Florida. And that's about 10 miles south of Tampa. So now you've got these lunatic copycats out there. And if you wanted to share your feelings this morning on what you think should be done about this issue that we have in our country now.
We've got a handful of texts here at 260-9595. Standard data and message rates apply. Don't text while driving. If you want us to use your name, just put your first name on there. A weapons ban will only ban sales of new weapons. You still have millions of quote-unquote assault rifles aka semi-automatic rifles.
That's true. They're already on the streets.
Another says there's already a ban on automatic weapons. No automatic weapons have been used in a mass shooting in a long, long time. Think of the mob in the 30s. Another says you can ban any, quote, weapon of war or gun that you want. That will only affect the law-abiding citizen. Criminals and mentally ill will still get weapons to commit crimes. That goes back to what my shop teacher said. Locks are only for honest people. A lock will not make an honest person, a dishonest person, honest.
And the bad guys will always get their hands on the guns.
And then he said, crap, you guys walk into the bathroom to smoke cigarettes. I've got a good sense of smell. Crap. It was Joe Jackson. His favorite word was crap. Brad from Cutoff says, no matter what guns they ban, it will not stop a criminal. Disarming the honest Americans will only make us more vulnerable. See, that's the thought that I can understand. If you give a little bit, then how much more do they want to take? And one more here. It's time I respect and agree with the Second Amendment. I own guns. The loss of life attributed to semi and fully automatic guns is too high and such a common occurrence that I can no longer argue in favor of a weapon that is absolutely not something a common person needs to own for any reason.
Again, the question that I have, and the Second Amendment has been adjusted before. I wonder if our founding fathers would imagine that mentally ill 21-year-old people, mentally ill people of all ages could get a gun, and it could fire off 20, 30 rounds in a few seconds. And I wonder if they ever saw anything like that in the future.
One more. No ban. Most of them are not going to. Now they use the Cabela's or people have mentioned other stores or a gun store to purchase. You can buy from a regular person with no background check. Not like they follow the law anyway. We need more concealed or open carry. Make you think twice about walking in somewhere to shoot up a place. 20 or 30 others may have guns to shoot back. See, I'm not.
Texas
goes to your Wild West.
But Brewster, Texas is one of the biggest gun states that we have in this country.
Right.
More people in Texas have guns than many other states. Texas loves their guns. And this lunatic walked into a Walmart and was able to kill 29 to kill 20 people, injure another 26 people, people that he never met, people that he had no idea who they were.
I'm not even sure what that scenario looks like in my mind, where you have a situation where there's an active shooter and pick a number, 5, 10, 12, 15 other individuals with guns are firing back. I mean,
if you want to get
the sheer numbers, tell you there's going to be collateral damage in a scenario like that.
If you have an opinion on this, we appreciate your text us, and again, please don't do it while driving. Here on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So people are rightfully horrified, many Americans this morning, as we sit here on the Monday morning after a Saturday where we had two mass shootings, one in El Paso, Texas, killing 20, injuring 26, and then later that night on Saturday night in Dayton, Ohio, 9 more people were killed. Several others were injured. Both of these shooters mentally ill. They're both nuts. They're both crazy. Just say it however you want to say it. And what's interesting is, it doesn't matter what type of mass shooting, whether someone walks into a Walmart, they drive 600 miles to go to a Walmart that they've never been to before, and they just open fire on people and children that they have never even seen, they've never met, those people have never done anything to that person before, or whether a guy goes to an area on a Saturday night where...
An entertainment area.
Where there are bars and restaurants and people having a good time on the streets, and just opens fire on a bunch of strangers. And by the way, before he did that, he drove there with his sister and her boyfriend, and he shot and killed them in the car.
Yeah, I missed that detail.
And then he gets out, and then he goes and shoots the rest of the people. And by the way, he was taken down about 30 seconds after he opened fire. Whether it's the kid that got picked on in high school, Parkland, Florida, and then he graduates or gets kicked out and then comes back and then shoots other kids. All of these people are mentally ill. They are severely mentally ill.
We've got just a couple more texts here. One says, make all the laws you want. Criminals don't care about laws. Stop. Make mass murder, regardless of weapon choice, mandatory. Death sentence. Quit making deals, sensationalizing these people. Quit making them stars, and quit giving them everything they want for the rest of their life in prison. Mandatory death sentence. One more is quit making gun control a topic. Make criminal control the topic. It's not the weapon of choice that is used. It's the fact that a choice to kill was made in the first place. Then there's one taking me to task a little bit, because I just question what a scenario looks like where you do have multiple quote-unquote good guys firing back. And I'm not saying yes or no. I'm saying we have not had that scenario happen. It's bound to happen. It may not be in the next United States mass shooting that happens, but it's bound to happen. And the texter says, so am I to believe that your position is you'd rather just wait for your turn to die than to have a good guy returning fire? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just looking into the crystal ball and trying to look what that, see how horrific that is if you have a situation where innocent lives are taken in a collateral damage situation, because now everybody's got a gun and they're just all shooting, trying to take out active shooter or shooters.
And
just questioning.
The Walmart shooting in El Paso, Texas. Again, you're talking about Texas, which is as big of a quote-unquote gun state as we have in this country. And that guy was still able to walk in there and just open fire and kill 20 people, wound another 26 people. I mentioned that the New York Post, that's the one newspaper up in the biggest city in America that comes at you from the right. I mean, I know the New York Times and the Daily News and Newsday, they all come at you from the left. But the New York Post, they're the one paper that comes at you from the right up there, and they're saying it's time to ban the semi-automatic weapon in this country. They're saying ban weapons of war, and I know there are still, even if you ban them tomorrow, there's tons of them out there in America, tons of them. The cat's out of the bag. They're all over the streets, and the bad guys, no matter what you ban, will always find a way to get the guns. You know, and I'm.
Here's one more good point real quick. Chicago text. Chicago has the strictest gun laws in the nation, and in 2016 there were over 4,000 gun-related incidents, shootings, and deaths.
The last 4 days, over 40 people have been shot in Chicago.
Tell me how more laws restricting my rights will stop mass shootings, ? The majority of those shooting were with handguns. I've never committed a crime in my life. Why should I have to give up my constitutional right? That from the text.
Nobody's talking about giving up handguns. And by the way, we broadcast this show from downtown New Orleans, and I live in one of the few places on planet Earth where people get shot every single day of the week. People get shot every day. I just mentioned Chicago. I think the last 4 days, 40 people were shot, but those were handguns. And those are shootings. I guess America, the politicians, have become used to. because they happen all the time. People in the quote-unquote game, living the quote-unquote life, street life.
Right.
So I think that's different than someone walking into a Walmart or shooting up a nightclub right outside a nightclub with a gun where they can get off 20 or 30 shots in a couple of seconds. We live in the freest country in the world, and this is keeping guns out of sick, mentally ill people's hands. It's impossible to keep them out of everybody's hands, isn't it?
And by the way, we are going to do other things today.
Yes, yeah.
Other things happen in the world.
Yeah, but obviously this is the big thing that our country is talking about this morning. It's a sad morning. And coming up, they did have, this is something. These people are amazing. They had the CrossFit Games. And
I couldn't make it this year.
Yeah, we'll explain a little bit what that's about coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Shark Week just ended on the Discovery Channel. And I just noticed, I read that over the weekend, three people were bitten by sharks in just 2 days in Florida, in the beaches of two different beaches of Florida. And they say the odds of getting bit by a shark are so incredible that you have a better chance of winning a lottery. How would you like to be one of the people that got bit by a shark over the weekend in Florida? None of these people died. They were bitten, and they were taken care of medically. But how would you like to, boy, your odds are better of winning the lottery than getting bit by a shark, yet you happen to be bit by a shark. That would be frustrating. I would be banging my head against the wall before I went to bed if that was me.
If you're bitten by a shark during Shark Week, is there any action you can take litigation-wise against the Discovery Channel?
Or you could
call promoting shark bites?
You could call one of the shark lawyers who
could do that.
The sharks of the courtroom. Coming up next, we look at today in history. Why Today Doesn't Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
August 5th. It was today in 1962.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Marilyn Monroe died.
Mm.
They found her body in her home in Los Angeles. She was nude on her bed, face down, with a telephone in one hand. Empty bottles of pills prescribed to her to treat depression were littered all over the room. She was one of America's most famous people, sex symbols, and that happened today in 1962. August 5th. It was today in 1981.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
President Ronald Reagan fired 11,359 air traffic controllers. Remember, they were on strike. They wanted more money. And Reagan said, look, get it worked out, but you have to do it while you're still working. And if you don't show up to work, you're all fired. And then he fired them.
And then he said, and whatnot.
August 5th. It was today in 1976.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The NBA merged with the ABA. Remember the ABA? They had the red, white, and blue balls. I think the Afros were bigger in the ABA, too.
That's where my beloved Indiana Pacers got their start, and they were actually ABA champions two or three times. It was on this date, big news in music history, on this date, August 5th. 1972.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
One of my top, I would say, 5 or 10 albums of all time, Layla, and other assorted love songs by Derek and the Dominoes, including Eric Clapton and Duane Allman and others. The song Layla hit the Billboard 100 singles chart nearly 2 years after the album itself was released. Also, this day, that year, 1972.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
After seeing Aerosmith perform at Max's Kansas City Club in New York City, Clive Davis signed them to Columbia Records for $125,000. That worked out pretty well. On this date, celebrating maybe that event, getting a little bit too rambunctious on August 5th, 2009.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Aerosmith singer Steven Tyler falls off stage during a concert at Sturgis, South Dakota. He was dancing on the catwalk after the band's sound equipment suffered an outage during Love in an Elevator. So, trooper that he is, he's trying to keep the show going. Tyler suffered a broken shoulder along with head and neck injuries. And one other big signing today, August 5th, 1979.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
40 years ago today, Def Leppard signs with Phonogram Records. That's Mercury Records, or it was, here in North America at the time. With a $180,000 advance and 10% royalty rate during the first 2 years of their contract.
August 5th, it was today in 1983.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The movie Risky Business debuted in movie theaters. That movie had an unknown guy in it named Tom Cruise. We really didn't know who he was, and that movie launched him into stardom. And finally, August 5th, it was today in 1861.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Wyatt Earp or somebody like that.
Abraham Lincoln imposes the very first federal income tax today in 1861. He's strapped for cash to pursue the Civil War. And the very first federal income tax was imposed today.
And then he said, and what not? Because as you know, if you believe the movie Lincoln, directed by Steven Spielberg, Daniel Day-Lewis said he did research. And despite the fact that a lot of folks think Lincoln sounded like this, a lot of folks say he sounded like this, and that's a segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Yeah, I mean, there are many people who...
I don't see that, do you? Do you see Lincoln having a voice like this?
Brewster, there are many people whose voices don't fit
their
looks. I mean,
I know that because when people walk up to me and they're like, hey, Osterlin, hey, because they think the short, fat guy should have your voice.
Yeah, working in radio most of my life, that's... Well, now on the internet, you all know what everybody looks like, but before
and
that...
We're sorry about that, too.
Yeah, yeah, people were like, wow, you don't look anything like you sound. And,
right.
So if Lincoln did have a high, squeaky voice, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be, and it just doesn't... I don't think it befits the image we have of the historical Lincoln.
So Saturday night, I did something really cool. I went to the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular.
Yes. How was that?
It was fantastic.
Really?
Sold it out. There was not one empty seat at the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. That's the other shrine on Airline right next to the baseball field there. And it was a fantastic show. And at some point this morning... on our website, I'm going to have a really cool part of that show.
Cool.
A video and some pictures.
And I understand you met some nice folks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Met a bunch of nice people, and it was...
They look at you and go, hey, Brewster.
Yeah. It was it was really cool. And if you missed it and you're a Pink Floyd fan, if you ever see that come around again or have the opportunity to see the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular, it is... well worth it if you're a fan of that band.
Cool.
Just really, really good stuff.
May I tell you briefly what we did Friday night?
What was that?
Or was it Saturday? No, it was Saturday. Mrs. Brewster, I had purchased tickets to go see the Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in America. Hollywood. America's a different movie. Bought them online because you can do that. If you're afraid that a movie that popular will sell out. So we purchased tickets for the Saturday night showing at Elmwood Theater, AMC Elmwood. And so we're headed that way, and we're gonna stop by Five Guys and have a little dinner and then see the 7:45 show. So about 6 o'clock or so, between 6 and 6:30, we pull up into the shopping center there at Five Guys, and you would think there was an LSU game going on or something. There is no one anywhere. And I said, did I not get a memo? Did a smart bomb go off? And there's no one anywhere. And so look at the sign in Five Guys. Sorry, closed. No power. Theo's next door. No power. There's no power anywhere. We go across the street, and we try Buffalo Wild Wings. And please hold your applause until I've named every establishment in Elmwood. So we go over there, and they don't have power across the street. So it's like, well, let's go check the theater itself because I need to cancel these tickets. And the good thing about the Atom, A-T-O-M app, you can use that to buy tickets and cancel them if something happens and you can't, you know, babysitter doesn't show. You can cancel those right up until, I guess, showtime and get a refund. So we go to, there's no one at the theater in Elmwood. There is no power.
Wow.
Apparently Elmwood neglected to pay its light bill, as I posted on Facebook. So we canceled the tickets, bagged that, and we went to Velvet Cactus in Lakeview. Loved that place. But that was our Saturday night.
Boy, I'm glad the power.
I don't know if it was. I mean, there was quite a rain earlier on Saturday. I don't know if it was related to that or. But yeah, that's very weird when you go somewhere at a time on a Saturday night and there should be lots of people there, and you look around and like, what happened? There's no one here.
Boy, that's bad for business too. A night where a lot of those places make a lot of their money.
Sure.
I'm glad they didn't have any power issues over on Airline in Metairie,
right?
Where the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular was.
Maybe that's what took all the juice. I don't know.
I thought it was. I got a kick out of it. It started a little bit late, the Pink Floyd Laser Show, mm-hmm. because authorities over there said they had to wait till it gets dark outside for the laser show to start. That was a pretty good one. And then when I came back. Because I live here in New Orleans.
Your palatial estate.
Well, it's not very palatial.
Palatial high rise.
In my neighborhood, the Warehouse District, they had the White Linen Night.
Yes.
And which is, I think it's a cool event because it brings a lot of people into New Orleans at a time of the year when the businesses in New Orleans really need people to show up. August for business owners in New Orleans isn't the best month. Because it's, at least temperature-wise, it's probably the most uncomfortable month that we have. And so anything that brings people downtown, and the White Linen Night has been going on for a while now, and then they'll follow that up with the Dirty Linen Night
right.
as a result of what happened on the White Linen Night. But it was a good crowd, and there were people all over the Warehouse District and enjoying the city. And I think that's a pretty cool event, again, to bring people, give folks a reason to come into town and to help the businesses during this very, very, the toughest month of the year for business owners here in New Orleans.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool.
And so I still haven't seen the Tarantino movie, so please, no spoilers.
I
just don't want to hear, I know it's a historical slice of time movie, but I don't want to hear details.
No, I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to see it, but I hear it's really good.
Yeah. If they can get the power up, I'll go see it again.
All right.
Or I'll go again to see it. Or I'll try again to see it. You know what I mean.
All right, coming up on the show, did you know that there was an air guitar competition in America this weekend?
I didn't know it was this weekend. Sadly, I was doing other things, but I am aware that it occurs.
Coming up next, I'm going to give you some of the sad details about that. Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Over this past weekend in Nashville, they had their annual Air Guitar National Championship. The winner, his name's Rob the Marquis Messel. The Marquis is his nickname.
Okay.
So Rob the
Messel.
Rob the Marquis Messel.
Okay.
He said that his victory at the Air Guitar National Championship was better than sex. Another activity he enjoys simulating, evidently. And what else is interesting is Rob the Marquis Messel, after he accepted his trophy, he went back to his hotel room with two imaginary groupies. And finally...
Oh, there's more.
There's one more. Rob the Marquis Markle, who won the air guitar competition this past weekend Messel. In Nashville. Rob the Marquis Messel.
He got so popular, he changed his name.
No, it's Rob Messel.
Messel.
The Marquis. He's got good news for his fans.
Yes, what's that?
His air guitar just went up for sale on eBay.
Yeah. Did you get an autograph of that? Where he pretended to sign it?
All right. Hey, coming up on the show, it was a rough weekend here in the United States of America with a couple of mass shootings. Now there are even some conservatives who are saying it's time to ban weapons of war, the semi-automatic rifle. We'll explain coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Obviously, it was a sad and tragic weekend here in the United States of America. On Saturday morning, you had a mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. Some guy drove 600 miles, and then he put something he wrote, everybody's calling it a manifesto, put it online before he went into Walmart, and he opened fire on complete strangers, children, adults, and he ended up killing 20, wounding 26 others. And he was apprehended, 21 years old. Obviously mentally ill. And people want to label people. They're calling this guy a white supremacist. He's a 21-year-old lunatic who has serious mental health issues. I mean, anyone who could walk into a store and just open fire on children and people that he's never even seen before in his life, never even met, they've never done anything to him. Severely mentally ill. And then later Saturday night, another mentally ill, mentally deranged guy, a 24-year-old guy, he drives to the nighttime district in Dayton, Ohio. He gets a ride with his sister and her boyfriend. And when they park the car, he shoots and kills his sister and her boyfriend right in the car there. And then he goes and he opens fire outside of a bar, killing 9 more people. And in that shooting in Dayton, Ohio, he was taken down 30 seconds after he opened fire by lawmen, by authorities there.
We've been reading a few of the texts that we've gotten in, and reminder that standard data and message rates do apply when you text us, and don't text while driving. This is from a little while ago, earlier this morning. Warren wants to take you to task a bit, saying, John, please stop saying these mass shooters are mentally ill. If that's the case, every last Ku Klux Klan person who hung a black man in history is mentally unstable also.
And we know
that's not the case.
Oh, for a Ku Klux Klanman just to hang a man because of the color of his skin, that's mental illness. That's mental. You're mentally ill. If you felt that way,
it's mental illness and not hate.
Well, yeah. Whoever could kill an innocent human being who never did anything to them for whatever reason, because of their nationality, because of their skin color, because of whatever, that's a mental illness. You're killing someone who did nothing to you. You're killing someone who you didn't even know, and you're killing them because of their nationality or because of the color of their skin. That's a mental illness. Yeah, it's hate as well, but you got to be sick to do something like that.
To my point that I've tried to make, and I'm just asking the question, I'm afraid of a scenario where we turn on the news and there's been a mass shooting and then there are multiple collateral damage, quote-unquote, casualties because other people concealed carry or whatever the law is in the community where we pray it doesn't happen, where innocent lives are taken because someone who is lawfully armed tries to go after the shooter. A text says, Brewster, I think I see what you're meaning. If you're an armed citizen doing your grocery shopping and someone opens fire in another part of the store and you hear gunshots and screams, the first citizen that walks by you with a gun who's trying to prevent the shooting could very well be mistaken for the perp. There's so many, and I'm not a proponent on one thing or another. I know I do not carry a gun, so I will not be participating in any prevention or intervention activities if I hear gunfire. I'm going to try to get my wife, get myself, and if my wife is there with me, get her out and maybe others to safety.
We cherish the Second Amendment.
I'm just afraid of a situation where you have people who are trained on a range going after someone when they hear gunshots and screams. Aren't you terrified to see what that scenario might look like on the news?
Well,
or God forbid if you're there.
And to take what you just said, Brewster, Texas is one of the biggest gun states in America. It's many, many, many of their residents own guns. And this happened at a Walmart in Texas. And what else is interesting about this is this particular Walmart right on the Texas-Mexico border in El Paso, they regularly get Mexican shoppers coming over the border from the town of Juarez. I mean, Juarez, if you've read anything about Juarez, that's one of the most violent. That town, they cut people's heads off in Juarez, the drug cartels, and they just cut people's heads off. And so you got people coming from Juarez where people get their heads cut off to get shot in a Walmart in America. And I mentioned this earlier, the people you hear from most, whether it's on television, whether it's on social media, you hear from people on the far end of the spectrum here. You hear from people, we need to do something about this on one side of the aisle. Well, we need to ban guns, but we do have a Second Amendment. And then you have people on the other side of the aisle saying that we can't. What do you mean you want to get rid of semi-automatic weapons? And then the majority of Americans are in between that, in the middle, and they're scared as hell right now.
Another text, and this person also called us to say, please stop taking the leftist bait by calling the AR-15 a weapon of war. It's not. It's never been used in any war. In fact, calling an AR-15 a weapon of war would be like calling a Honda Civic a NASCAR car. The Toyota Camry, yeah, I would point out, is a NASCAR car.
Well, and
heavily doctored and not really stock.
I didn't call it a weapon of war. I said what the cover of the New York Post is this morning, which is the one newspaper in New York City, the biggest city in America, that comes at you from the political right. Their headline is "Ban Weapons of War."
Right,
and they're on the political right.
But the cynic in me will go to my grave thinking that there are people in newsrooms across the country and in places like CNN that will off the air. Editors will say, weapon of war. Yeah, use that. Let's use
sure.
that. Say weapon of war as much as you can. Get that out there. Say weapon of war. Of course they're doing that. And if you think they're not, then you need to be more cynical like I am.
It's just a sad morning. And again, these shooters, whether they're a loser from high school that got picked on by and then showed up like in Parkland, Florida, and then just started shooting high school kids, whether it's a quote-unquote white supremacist who drove 600 miles in Texas to shoot up as many Mexicans as he could at a Walmart, or whether it's just a lunatic in Dayton, Ohio. He shoots and kills his sister and her boyfriend and then opens fire on a bunch of people he never met or he didn't know. Yes, mental illness is prevalent in all of these. And sure, we have a lot of questions and we have a lot to talk about. Coming up on the show, a guy just got a prison sentence. You're not going to believe the prison sentence he got for trying to poison his wife's coffee. We'll tell you about it coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The communist Chinese government is now prohibiting overly entertaining television programming. Huh. It's the same policy they have at the CW. That's interesting what they're doing over there in China. Coming up next, you're not going to believe the prison sentence this guy was just handed for trying to kill his wife. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. A sad morning this morning. There's only one thing that the majority of the United States is talking about after what happened with the two mass shootings over the weekend on Saturday, one in El Paso, Texas, and one in Dayton, Ohio. The one in El Paso, Texas, they caught the shooter, a 21-year-old guy, and they're gonna look to put him to death, and they're charging him also with hate crimes. The shooter in Dayton, Ohio, they shot and killed him 30 seconds after he started shooting on Saturday night. But they're saying there was no hate involved there. I guess just a deranged lunatic there. And we'll talk more about it 1 hour from now. I wanted to mention this also. This past weekend in Chicago, 56 people were shot in Chicago the very same weekend where we had the two mass shootings on Saturday. 56 people were shot in Chicago. Four of the people who were shot in Chicago died. And that's different than the mass shootings, because in Chicago, there are people, a lot of people that get shot every weekend, much like where we're sitting here in downtown New Orleans. People get shot all the time. But in Chicago and New Orleans, people get shot with handguns, and people usually are in, not all the time. Some of the time, the shooting victims in Chicago and New Orleans and other cities, some of the times they're involved in the street life, the street game, gangbangers, thugs, whatever you want to call. But in those instances as well, stray bullets find innocent victims. But it's interesting how you don't hear anybody talk about the fact that 56 people were shot this weekend in Chicago. More should be, attention should be focused there, you say? More on this, though, coming up in the final hour of the show. I read this story about this guy who just got convicted for trying to kill his wife. She was divorcing him, and he decided to poison her coffee. And he ended up being convicted of that. He's from Michigan. His name is Brian Kozlowski. And the reason I brought that up this morning is because of the prison sentence he got. His sentence was 60 weekend days in jail for poisoning his wife's coffee, for trying to kill his wife. He was convicted, and the judge said, you're going to do 60 weekend days in jail, meaning he'll go to work and keep his job. Evidently, if whoever his employers are didn't care that he just got, one of their employees was just convicted of trying to kill his wife by poisoning her coffee. And I looked at that sentence. It had me scratching my head when you have someone trying to kill someone. And it looks like the court seemed more focused on the defendant's ability to work and his freedom than the victim's situation, than the victim's safety. I thought that was, I've never seen anything like that before, where a woman's going to get divorced, her and her husband are going to get divorced. Evidently, the husband didn't want that. And so he poisons his wife's coffee with the active drug found in Benadryl. And she noticed that the coffee tasted...
Diphenhydramine, something like that.
And she, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I'm not saying it right, but...
Diphenhydramine.
That doesn't sound right. Diphenhydramine.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Usually that...
it's over-the-counter antihistamine, but like anything, too much of it is not good.
Yeah, that stuff normally treats allergies, bites, stings mm-hmm. from bugs, rashes, things like that. And but his wife noticed that the that her coffee tasted different than it normally does, and she knew that they were getting divorced, and so she they found out that this is what happened. But what do you think of that sentence? He tries to poison his wife, poison her coffee, and he gets 60 weekend days in jail.
I've never heard of that.
That's why I brought it up. I don't think I've never seen or heard of anything like this before.
And I would think alongside that, there would have to be some sort of monitoring device. He would have to wear an ankle bracelet or something, right?
And my biggest question is, okay,
to keep him from taking it on the lam.
Okay, he still has his job. Does his employer still want him working there? Do they not read the news up there in Michigan?
What happens when his ankle bracelet starts beeping during a meeting? I mean, that's disruptive to everyone.
I just found it wild how just weekends, but you're free during the week. Go back to work. Do they watch it work? And is this a guy that should be running around free at least during the weeks? But for the next 60 weekends, he's going to be spending them in jail. Again, I've never seen that before. The guy's name is Brian Kozlowski, and he lives in Michigan. And his wife's okay now because he didn't use enough of the stuff. But and they are now.
She's still sleeping, but she's going to be okay.
Well, they now are officially divorced. So, but some things never cease to amaze. All right, coming up on the show, they had the CrossFit Games over the weekend, something Brewster and I probably would enjoy watching on television, and that's as far as we would go with that. But why you have that look on your face? You wouldn't even want to watch that on television?
I get the look on my face when you speak for me.
Oh.
No, I would not watch that on television.
Boy, some of these things these people are doing are incredible.
Yeah, I pulled a hammy. I had to pull out of the CrossFit Games this year. I pulled a hammy playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, I pulled the muscle reaching for the remote control to try to turn on the CrossFit Games to see what these people in incredible shape can do. I'll give you a couple of details about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So over this past weekend, they had the CrossFit Games. And... if you're wondering what this is where they try to find the quote-unquote fittest person on Earth, at least here in America. And these people, they do pretty much everything in the book you could think about during these games. Power snatches, sprints, rope climbs, handstand push-ups, squat cleans, and burpees. They do burpees. Those are just a few of the elements. I think I would do all right in the burpees.
That's not what you're thinking it is.
That these athletes are expected to compete and compete in. And over the weekend, that happened up there in Madison, Wisconsin. And the winners, they had three different winners in three different divisions.
Yes.
Matt Frazier wins again.
He got a six-pack and of Old Milwaukee and a pound of cheese.
He won his division. A guy named Rich Froning won his division. And the woman, Tia Claire Toomey.
Who?
Tia Claire Toomey. I think her last name is what most people would be facing if they tried doing all of these things that these people did. They'd be facing a tomb.
I couldn't attend this year.
What's interesting, all three of those people I just named, Rooster, yesterday, they defended their championships and they protected their titles and they established themselves as the, quote, fittest on earth, unquote, once again. Well, it's good to see something like that because, I mean, we see so many unfit people, whether it's physically, mentally, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I don't have to leave the house and go to Madison, Wisconsin to see unfit people.
So they had it again this year, the CrossFit Championships, and people are defending their titles. Coming up next on the show, I've got a feel-good story, a local story here in New Orleans that will make you feel good because we need that this morning here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. School starts today for a lot of kids, huh?
Yes.
That's something. And I read this story about a local barber who is trying to set a Guinness Book of World Records by helping out many of the New Orleans school kids going back to school. He wants to set the record for free haircuts. How cool is that? Now, is that a feel-good story or what? He's known as...
Well, keep going. I'll let you know. I don't feel good yet.
He's known as Fat the Barber. His name is Brandis Mercado, and he's a local barber. And he's attempting to set a Guinness World Record for the most free back-to-school haircuts. And kids lined up outside of the House of Fades Barbershop on Bayou Road to get their locks cut. This happened yesterday. I thought that was pretty neat. Now here's a guy he wants to give back, and I think this is a feel good story.
Did he break the record?
I don't know yet.
We don't know.
Quote: "We're pretty much doing back to school free back to school haircuts, and I broke a Guinness World Record." He says he did.
Okay.
To the parents that don't have enough, he's talking about money, or just enough to buy their kids uniforms for school, "I'm going to take y'all's slack. I'm going to catch the extra weight for you. I'm Uncle Fat. Even if I don't know you, I'm Uncle Fat. I'm going to catch your slack. What he had to say.
Is there music with this? It seems like there should be.
Yeah, no? It sounds like a song that could be a top 40 hit. He says he gave around...
I'm starting to feel a little bit better, by the way.
He says he gave around 200 free haircuts between Saturday and Sunday. So it did start on Saturday, and it ended yesterday on Sunday. But that's the kind of a story that that just makes you feel good. He's a local business owner.
Mm-hmm.
He cuts hair, and he said, you know, it's time for the kids to go back to school. They're going back to school soon. And I know that some of the parents and some of the family members are financially strapped.
Right.
And so I'm gonna use what I got to give out around 200 free haircuts. And I think he is the New Orleans person of the day. At least he was the New Orleans person of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Brandis Mercadal, better known as Fat. Da barber.
Should we make him the Osterlin Show Citizen of the Day?
Why not?
Okay, you are. He is. It's done.
Well, I could use a haircut. I'd pay for mine, though. I could use one.
Why don't you get a high fade? I think a high fade would be a new and exciting look for you.
Is the high fade, is that a new name for the high and tight? When you're talking about haircuts?
I'm not sure if a fade and a...
Because I used to have friends, they would go in, they'd get the same thing every time. Go in, they'd say, give me the high and tight.
Hmm. I don't have enough hair to be able to help you with that question. Mm. Caitlin, just gives me, she starts with a number one, which is the guard on the thing, and then she knows what to do from there. I actually have a picture of the, I go to one of the national chains, and I won't name which one, but there was a picture of the person whose hair this is going back 10 or 12 years, and I always have that on my phone, and if she needs a refresher, I'll show it to her, and she's like, I remember, because I go fairly regularly, and I've come to call the person in the picture, this guy, by the name of the establishment. And I'll just leave it there. You can probably figure that out. Because there's one of the national chains that has a man's name in it. And that's just when I go to look for that picture on my phone, I'm looking for, you know.
The place I go is downtown. And what's interesting is it used to be uptown.
Okay.
When I lived uptown.
Now, do you go to a chain or do you go
no.
to a...
It's good for you. You spend your money locally.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It used to be uptown. It used to be up on Chapultepec in a strip mall.
Yes.
And then I moved from uptown, and I moved into the warehouse district a couple of years ago. And I was walking around one day. I think you were the one. You said, you need a haircut. That's when I get haircuts, when you usually say, dude, your hair's ridiculous. I used to have really long hair.
I see you out of the corner of your eye playing with your hair, and that's when you need to get one.
I used to have really long hair, but the older you get, the long hair just doesn't look as good. So I was walking around one day, and I looked up, and I was over by Rouse's in the CBD here, and I was a block away from there, and I looked up. I said, wait a minute. That's the place I used to go to uptown. Did they just open up a new place downtown? And so I walked in. And they said, no, we moved. It's us.
Right.
We didn't open a new place. This is us. We just physically moved, like you just moved from uptown to the warehouse district.
Hmm.
We moved downtown as well.
So who was following whom? Did they move to find you?
That's a great question.
Or vice versa?
I think it was a complete coincidence.
Right.
And it worked out great because I was looking for a place when I moved into the warehouse district because I had gotten one haircut before then. And I brought it up on the air. I was in the French Quarter, and I opened the door, and these two really old guys were sitting in chairs, and they were sleeping. And when the door opened, they had a bell on it, and it rang, and they both popped out of their chair. Well, one guy popped out of his chair. The other guy didn't move. He was still sleeping. And then the other guy said, hey, do you have an appointment? I said, no. Do I need one? He said, no, sit down. And, I mean, he did a decent job. He was just so old, and that was all well and good. But after that, I said, I didn't know if those guys were going to be around for a few more months.
Right.
And so I started, and I just, by coincidence, happened to find the very place that I used to go uptown, much like me, it is now downtown.
Do you remember back in the 70s, there was a, it was called Roffler, the Roffler razor cut hair system. And that's not the name of the place, but that was the name of the training that the barber got. He would be a certified Roffler. Don't ask me why I remember this, but the place I would go, the guy that cut my hair, Paul Carper, that name just came out of my backside, but that was him. But he would, and I had longer hair back then too. I mean, my middle teen years, late teens, I guess, but they wouldn't use scissors. He would actually take a straight razor and, you know, he would like they do with the comb and everything and hold it with two fingers. But instead of cutting it with scissors, it was like a razor cut. And it was the weirdest thing.
How about that?
You felt like at first like he was scalping you, but then you got used to it. But the Roffler hair system, if anybody is old enough like me to remember way back then.
No, the name of the place I go, I'll tell you where I go. And I'm not getting paid or anything.
Okay.
It's called Hair Loft. And it's really cool, and I love it. I try to go, like, on a Wednesday in the middle of the week,
mm-hmm.
where one of their attractive female hairstylists will wash my hair first before. And there is nothing like that in the middle of a week to break
see,
up the
I
week
don't
to
make
have
th-
a to have an attractive woman that you, that you don't
I
know.
Don't I don't make that get a go to the place and get a shampoo money like you do. I've got to go and just I think she takes a spritz bottle. That's been there for who knows how long with, I think, a metery rainwater and wets my hair. I don't get this whole shampoo thing.
It's
like
an extra few bucks for the shampoo, but I'm telling you,
well,
Brewster, it's worth it.
Yeah.
In the middle of the week when you're meeting, sometimes you're having a rough week, just to lay your head down in that sink in the warm water and then her nails and to have an attractive, strange woman wash your hair in the middle of the week. Oh, it's heaven.
Well, fantastic.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I read an interesting story this weekend in the Gambit newspaper here out of New Orleans. The story was about the Mackle twins, Travers and Fletcher Mackle, who both work for Channel 6, WDSU. And I know who these guys are because I've done some stuff with these guys. Travers used to come on my show before. He does news, and then Fletcher does sports. And pretty much the only way you could tell them apart other than that these days is that Travers has the Mackle mane. He waits for a lot longer to get a haircut than Fletcher does. And so the Mackle that has the longer, thicker, bushier hair, that would be Travers. And what's interesting, and they're really nice guys. In the times that I've met them, and I always used to tell them a joke, you know, it's not just the Mackle twins. There's a Mackle triplet who is not quite as smart as them, not quite as good-looking as them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they keep them stored away up in an attic.
And what's his name?
I think Conrad, because you got Fletcher, and then you got Travers. And I think he's Conrad,
mm-hmm.
the Mackle triplet that really didn't make the cut.
Right. He's special.
Yeah, and they keep them stored away up in the attic of their mid-city home. Although I don't know if they still live there. They used to live there together. I know that, but... But first, Fletcher got married a couple of years ago, and then Travers just got married this last year. He married Meg Gatto, who you see on Fox 8 here mm-hmm. in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a news marriage in breaking headlines heaven.
Yes.
So I don't know if they still live together anymore. That'd be something, huh, for the four, the two married couples living in there. But they were living together, and I knew before they got married because for about three Christmases in a row,
now, hang on. Somebody texted, Conrad's like Rosemary Kennedy. That's not funny. That's no. That's not funny.
Kind of where I got the idea. But they used to have a big, it was a Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve party every night or every year in their mid-city home when they were living together before they got married. And they invited me to that for a couple of years. I think it was Christmas Eve. But I had something else to do, and I didn't make it. And so I think
What did you really do?
I think I was out doing something else. I just couldn't make it over to the Mackles Mid-City Mansion. So I think after the third year of that, they stopped inviting me.
You think they finally got the hand after 3 years?
The invite stopped coming.
Mm-hmm.
But what I read, what was interesting about them is that they both went to the same, obviously they grew up, they were together forever. They went to the same schools when they went to De La Salle High School uptown. And then they went to community college first, and then they went Delgado, and then they went to Loyola, where they both played baseball. They were baseball players. Now their father was a legend in this town. Their father was a great professional golfer, and every year they have the Mackel Golf Tournament here. But what I found, which was very interesting, you know, and they say they get asked the question all the time, what's it like to be a twin? They don't know. They can't answer that because they don't know what it's like not having a twin. They've never been alive when the other one wasn't there or somewhere. And what I found most interesting, when they both graduated college, they knew they wanted to both work in the media. They wanted to work at television news. One of them, Travers, did news, and the other one, Fletcher, did sports. But they were both in smaller markets. One of them was in Monroe. The other one was in Lafayette at local television affiliates in those smaller markets. And then Fletcher was the one who got the gig at WDSU back in their hometown of New Orleans first. And so the pressure was on Travers at that point. He's like, look, you know, we were always equal. And then all of a sudden, Fletcher gets the job at WDSU in our hometown of New Orleans. He gets the job in the big market compared to where, you know, where they came from in with their beginning of their media careers, one in Monroe and the other in Lafayette. And that put the pressure on Travers to get a job in New Orleans. And, you know, when he sent his reel over to WDSU, they said, well, wait a minute. We already got one of these guys working here. He looks just like him. He talks just like him. He acts just like him. And then they said, you know, some people over there said, look, you should hire this guy. It'd be cool to have two of them. Plus, they've been together most of their lives, and this is the longest they've ever been apart from each other.
Hmm.
And then one wasn't able to make it in the big hometown market. And
yes.
They didn't want any mental problems. So I'm glad to see everything's, and they've been working over there for a long time, and they're good guys, the Mackles. And it was an interesting story I read about them. And the Gambit this weekend. You can go check it out if you want to read some of that stuff.
Do that. And tomorrow at this time, a profile of Fox 8's Lee Zurich.
Coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride, and we'll talk a little bit about the horrible weekend here in the United States. Coming up next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You watch much of the X Games? Pretty exciting sports. It was on over the last few nights. And the reason I brought that up is because a skateboarder made history with something he did on his skateboard at the X Games. This guy named Mitchie Brusco became the first person in history to nail a 1260 in skateboarding. So think about that. I'm not that good in math. But if you go all the way around once, that's a 360, right? So then you do the math. He did a 1260 on a skateboard, and he was the first person to do that, and he did it in the X Games.
Well, it's 3.5 times around then.
There you go. That's catching air. If you can stay on a skateboard and turn your body 3.5 times around and land. Not on your head.
That would be my first goal and hardest thing to achieve.
First person in history to nail a 1260 in skateboarding.
I can honestly say I've never been on a skateboard in my life. The closest I've come was years and years ago. 25 years ago, I had a Tony Hawk video game, or somebody had one, and I was playing it. And so I learned, like, like one of the things you do, you go up and then you grab the you grab the back of the skateboard, and that's like a fakie or something like that. They all have different names. They all have like little names, all the different stunts that you can do. You know, like you go up the half pipe or whatever, you go up in the air and you get big air, as you say, but you if you turn and grab the bottom of the back of the board, it's like a fakie, is that right?
I don't know the lingo.
Something like that, yeah.
But it's funny you brought up Tony Hawk, because he was obviously watching the X Games over the weekend.
He just turned 60, didn't he?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he tweeted and he congratulated the 22-year-old skateboarder Mitchy Brusco for nailing a 1260 on a skateboard. So going around and around and around.
And halfway around.
Halfway around. That's something else. And I wanted to bring this up as well. You might have saw this story from over the last few days. I couldn't believe it. And this happened in Florida. Go figure. Not a Florida man story. Well, a Florida McDonald's employee fired for refusing to serve paramedics or anyone with a badge.
Because?
That's how this particular employee at this particular McDonald's felt. An employee at a McDonald's restaurant in Florida has been fired after reportedly refusing to serve a pair of paramedics over that worker's reluctance to serve anyone with a badge. Quote, we are aware of the unfortunate incident that took place at one of our restaurants last night. Wrote the McDonald's franchisee operating that particular restaurant in Florida. And he said, quote, we, like you, were upset and disappointed and took immediate action. The employee has been terminated. That's something. How does somebody working at McDonald's...
It just takes it upon themselves to decide what that establishment is going to do and who they're going to serve. That's insane.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Madeira Beach, Florida. I don't know. But that's where that happened. And someone who happened to work at that McDonald's saw a couple of paramedics come walking in, and they had badges on. And that person said, I don't serve anyone with a badge. Working at McDonald's.
America in 2019.
Who is that person going to call if anything ever happens to him? Who is that? Who's that?
Well, a paramedic, and it could likely be those two, because fortunately, paramedics and first responders generally don't have little grudges like that, and they try, I think, for the most part, to save everyone, including little pipsqueaks working at McDonald's who think they're going to decide who gets served.
Yeah, some first responder, some paramedic, some ambulance driver, they ever see him. You know, that would be like, let's say, I don't know, a black doctor working in an emergency room, and then some neo-Nazi, you know, racist white supremacist guy comes in with swastika tattoos on his arms, and then he's got to save his life.
Right.
I thought that was something. And, you know, and McDonald's did a good job here by getting out in front of it and firing the guy and the employee, and then releasing their statement. And usually when we've seen rogue employees at certain places, whether they have big names that we all know about nationally or not, they usually do a good job to, once one of these rogue employees does something like that, to get out in front of it. Well, hey, we appreciate you listening to the show. Thank you. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.